Censorship, traffic throttling, and shadow banning of content has impacted the Andres Segovia Show's reach across the big tech platforms. In order to make the program uncancelable, I made the show available across multiple different platforms in various types of formats. Your support for the show goes a long way to ensure the lights stay on. There are different ways you can support. One, you can sign up for Locals, which is free, and you can choose to be a paid supporter through there. Locals is where you get exclusive shows within the show and exclusive access to me directly. But if Locals is not for you, you can always check out my storefront on Amazon, where you can buy my published works from the Enoch Bellagio series or the Andres Segovia Show, Transcripts of the Early Days. You can also shop for the gear that I use to make my coffee. If you're wondering what kind of tools you might need to produce your own podcast because you want to get into that, you can also check out my tech on how I produce my show there as well. So go to theandressegovia.com/shop. That's theandressegovia.com/shop and find all the links there. That's theandressegovia.com/shop.
This is the Andres Segovia Show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the program. I am Andres Segovia. To my friends and family across the big Pacific Ocean blue, Shenyan Kuala. All right, folks, I got a lot of things to go through. I want to get through them as quickly as possible, but it's been one heck of a month, and especially the past few days as I was basically covering some drama that to some extent affects me directly. And I touched a little bit on it on the spontaneous videos covering this that unplanned videos, I would say, that I ended up putting up on the video platforms that didn't make the podcast. So I will touch on that just a little bit, because those of you on the listening platforms did not get any of this, especially if you're not following me on the socials. Why aren't you? You know, at the Andres Segovia across everything but Twitter. Twitter is underscore Andres Segovia. I've been asking Elon if he can just, you know, increase just one more character from 15 so I could do the Andres Segovia there, but until then, it's underscore Andres Segovia. But I will give you an idea of how my content is kind of being spread out a little. It's just the way things are with the availability out there, and you'll see how this ties into why I had to cover the drama that was happening, because it affected certain business plans of mine. But there are other things I need to cover a lot, so that's why I postponed some episodes that were meant to debut now, but I pushed them back. Because I need to tell you about some things that I want to do for real estate that I've already produced, but other things that I want to address, then you can be sure to stay tuned. That's why you should stay subscribed and follow me across the socials to make sure you don't miss out on these very important updates. They're timely, but they're going to be very much episodes of their time. So that means these episodes will probably be outdated in a couple of months or even a year. And so that's why I want to get these out of the way while I can. And also some tech things that are important for me to address. So that's a very long interlude to all this. I hate taking long, but it's an overview of what I'm going to be covering on this episode. I normally don't prepare notes that I want to hit on. I just do outlines. And sometimes I just speak from out of a whim. I like the authenticity of this approach instead of being scripted, if you know what I mean. And I hope you appreciate that too. So some of the drama that I've been covering, I've been chronicling. You can check it out on my Substack. If you're not on my website already, theandresegovia.com, I made a post. I'm calling it the Steven Crowder versus the Daily Wire Chronicles, because there's ever changing information. At first, it was like, yeah, Steven's taking the fight to Big Con. And then when the supporters of both Steven Crowder and the Daily Wire got the news that Daily Wire was the one that Steven Crowder was basically speaking mostly about, that kind of divided the fan base. And then Steven responded in the way he did. And that just made everybody kind of like, ah, crap, what now? Because while there's truth to both sides, it's the way this has all gone about that is just, it's really left a sour taste in everyone's mouths. And right now, what at first seemed to be a wave of support for Steven Crowder, the tide's turning against him. And as this episode is published, later this day, He's supposed to be on Timcast IRL, so we'll see if the fire rages on or if this is finally gonna go by the wayside. And for the lots of you, it's probably like, so what? Who cares? It doesn't matter to me anyway. And I understand. And I don't mean to try to force this drama in front of you. Just like I hate it when people try to get me to weigh in on whole Andrew Tate. I never knew who he was until all the stuff broke out. I didn't care, and you still can't make me care about Andrew Tate. So if you don't know or care about Steven Crowder and or the Daily Wire, you probably feel the same way I felt about Andrew Tate. But the only reason I bring it up is because it affects the business plans of my show, because I've also been shopping around to platform my program, and I looked more on the conservative outlet sites to see where it can land. And one of the places that I considered was the Daily Wire. Although I had some concerns that they only platform their stuff on big tech, and I've had my issues with big tech, the very places they're only found. If you've been a longtime listener and viewer of my show, you would know that, hey, I'm an advocate of being on everything as much as possible. So I'm across so many different social media sites, so many different video platforms, some that you might not have heard of. There are others that I haven't even yet put my show on that I'm even contemplating putting them on. But that's the whole point of all that, is to extend my reach and not depend on YouTube. Because, well, due to Steven Crowder, my channel did take hits. And it's not because I was saying anything controversial of the sort. No, it was just, it was a very vague community rule update that was made to basically chastise Steven Crowder for something that he had in what is chronicled as the Vox Apocalypse. And due to that, a lot of independent creators were harmed in that respect. And my channel was growing. I was hitting 1 million views by then. And then ever since, it's been a trickle. Yeah, I have more than 1 million views now, but I should be closer to 2 million based on the growth of my channel that was then quite literally had the engines taken out of it. And like, holy smokes, man. And it was bad. And for those that are not aware, I actually did break some news in those off-the-cuff videos that I did earlier this week, that one of the video platforms, where I mentioned that I received an email from Google. No explanation whatsoever that my AdSense account is being canceled, and it somehow affects my YouTube. Like, why are these things being commingled when it's supposed to be one Google, one YouTube, but the whole thing's being canceled? Not only was some of my content demonetized and other stuff, but it's like, okay, so whatever chump change I was getting from YouTube ads, now it's like, it's going to be absolutely nothing. But YouTube still runs ads and they get the money from my ads. I'm just not getting a cut out of it. You know, it really feels awful to have someone else, profit off your content while telling you that you can't. And that's why I didn't want to rely on YouTube, and I don't. And that's why I put my platform elsewhere. It's just that on other places, they don't have a monetization thing just yet. Or in the case of Rumble, they say they do, but even they censored me. And there's just, it's like, what the heck, man? Then what's the whole point? And some might say, well, Andres, I guess maybe you just got to watch what you say. Well, tune into my episodes. Find out if I am saying stuff that's off the ordinary or whatever. That's why I'm on Locals for anyone that wants to chime in whenever I want to address things that are more, I guess, on the controversial side, that are no-go topics for YouTube. They're not safe for YouTube, as I sometimes say. And I do that because one part, it's like, hey, I want to be free to talk about this, but I also don't want my video to be taken down. But also take into consideration that you might not care, because my audience is not the audience that some of these conservative media outlets are targeting. And that's not what I'm aiming for either. But I do have political opinions and insights and things and analysis and commentary that I want to share, just like I'm sure all of you do. For everyone that says they don't like politics or not involved in politics, you're involved in politics one way or another. Whether you're battling it out with the left or the right when it comes to the political sphere, or whether you're battling it out in what's happening to your favorite content, be it video games or movies or TV, everything's become political. So unfortunately, you can't escape it. And in some cases, when you're talking about policy matters, as I do for real estate, some of my audience has construed that as politics. And I'm like, I'm criticizing the policies coming out of Sacramento. But some people take it as politics and say, Andres, keep your politics to yourself. It's like not realizing that I'm trying to tell you how your wallet is going to be affected. And then there comes the I told you so. So I don't like any of this. So I try to keep it as professional as I can when I deal with business dealings. But hey, I'm an emotional guy too. So I sometimes come across strong, and I don't apologize for that. And yeah, I'm human too. I have emotions. It's just that I don't like doing rants. I don't like expressing angry things on YouTube, because it's like, oh, you're just doing a show just so you can get the clicks or whatever, or a rant thing. No, I'm not the rageaholic. That's his thing. I like to be insightful. And that's just the way how I choose to proceed with that. So that's why I've been covering that. And for anyone that's interested, the post where I'm chronicling it and we'll be updating with pertinent information is available on my Substack, and also, of course, my website. My website's more detailed because I can put more things on my posts. So that's the main one. If you're interested in following the saga, I chronicled this since before it happened. It should never have happened. I've been saying since last year when it was first teased that Steven was leaving the Blaze, I said, because a lot of people were like, oh yeah, go with Daily Wire, go with your friends. And I said, you do realize that these two are not compatible. I said, I in no way can I imagine Steven at the Daily Wire. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. And I'm sure that everyone is smart enough on that side, on the business end, to not even try it. I was proven wrong about the last part. They tried it, and now we're in this debacle because their business plans and philosophies are at odds. And I've been saying that for weeks, maybe even months at this point. So none of this is surprising. I just hate to see it. So that's the last I'll say about it on this. Anything else will be on the post over there. And I only mention it here for you podcast listeners because you weren't privy to any of this. You can check out my coverage on the video platforms. But like I said, I put this on a post. You can find my commentary peppered in with the videos that started and fueled the rage in between them. So I also included some videos of analysis from the inside that give you insights. So I think those are pertinent things to digest, but if you don't want to, just don't. It's ridiculous drama that you shouldn't even be in. And believe me, there was other dramas from other places happening at the same time. It's like, man, I only got time for one drama. I don't need that many more. I'm not binging on these things. So I'd have turned that off and just, you know, not give more heat to it. But anyway, so that's the long and short of it for you podcast listeners. So for those of you that tuned in to still this part and are listening to this podcast on the video platforms, I appreciate your patience in getting through this. I want to give you some updates to all of you. Let me start with tech and then hit real estate as I wrap things up. So when it comes to tech, I have certain technology that I haven't yet reviewed that I want to get to. I'm even considering, if you're interested, talking about lawn equipment, because lawn equipment, most of it has been going electric, especially here in California, because Gavin Newsom hates jardineros because they're talking about the whole climate thing or whatever, and I don't want to get started on this thing. But if I go down this rabbit hole, then my channel is definitely going to be going bye-bye. Let's just say I'm not a fan of the green light, and I do use gardening equipment that's all electric. I am fine with those things being available to me. I mean, these are not as strong as the gas-powered stuff, but it's something for you to know that California is clamping down on these things because they say it's the name of the environment and nothing. And oh my goodness, see, I'm trying to keep it together. I'm trying to keep it together. That's how emotional these things can get. But I consider covering this, and if any of you are interested in hearing how I've been using a certain brand of products that has multiple different uses but the same battery, then I'd like to chime in on it. I'm using Makita brand products for home improvement and gardening, and they all work together very well. So I consider doing reviews on that. So you let me know if that would interest you. But when it comes to other tech, I'm talking about headphones. I'm talking about monitors because I've had to do major upgrades these past few weeks, and I'm using them. I actually reviewed the Remarkable 2 e-ink paper tablet, and I'm considering doing an updated review to that because of the new 3.0 software they dropped and their improved subscription service that allows for inking synchronization, not just from the paper tablet, but also across your mobile app. So if you're using an iPad with the Apple Pencil, for example, or a Samsung tablet with an S Pen, like I do, or maybe even a Windows Surface Pro that uses a Surface Pen input, then you're talking about all these notes being synchronized all at once in one service. And I think that's pretty awesome. That will require testing. And if you're interested in that, and some have expressed that they are, that would be a follow-up review that I would do to the Remarkable, but I don't want to saturate things with the Remarkable right now since I literally just covered it. But I'm thinking about doing Porsche Design Tech commentary, overview, maybe even reviews, because I think I gained enough Porsche Design Tech to merit a video of its own. So if you'd be interested in checking out that video, which would be basically covering more high-end products, not necessarily the best products, but more expensive, yes, because of the fit and finish and materials, by all means, let me know. Because I would like to do one exclusively, but man, I feel I'm gonna have to wear a suit and tie for that one to just to do the some unboxings and things. What else do I have for you in terms of tech? Well, I do have more devices that I haven't been able to test. That would be the Pixel 7 Pro. The latest update that finally brought the Android 12L to my Surface Duo, which is a drama in of it itself. But I guess this kind of lends into some software tinkering that I've been trying to do. I was thinking, and bear with me here, because I am going to install a custom ROM to the Google, the Pixel phone, but I'm not going to do that just yet. I want to use the Pixel for its strengths because that's what I love about the Pixel. I've had the Pixel 2, and I love the experience there. It doesn't have the squeeze functionality to trigger like OKG or some other shortcuts, but I love how the software just flies on the Pixel 7. So what I was thinking about doing as a unique experiment, since I have a Surface Duo, and I have my Samsung S22 Ultra, and now I have the 7 Pro. I was thinking about basically resetting both my Surface Duo and my Samsung to factory settings and using the phones respectively with just their own services and not signing in to Google. So in the case of the Samsung, I will only sign into Samsung and use the Galaxy Store and supplement that with Aurora Android App Store. And that would be the same for the Surface Duo, where I would wipe it and just use Aurora Droid and F-Droid and Aurora App Store for my apps, but only sign into Microsoft, not signing into the Play Store. I have used the Surface Duo with just Microsoft services. It was a fail. That was before Android 12L. So now that I have it all, I was thinking about doing that since I'm going to have the pure Google experience on the Pixel 7 Pro. So I guess I'll put up the polls and see how all of you would say. So that's what segues to how I want to talk about my last item on tech is tech itself as to what platforms and interactions that I'm having. So when I put up a poll, my number one, engagement is Instagram. So when I put my polls there for Instagram, I want to put the poll now that I'm active on Twitter. I want to put it on Twitter. I want to put it on my communities tabs for YouTube, where I have my biggest subscription base. Also for you podcast listeners that are listening on Spotify, I want to put the poll there along with question and answer segments. And also on Gab, where I can do polling. I think I could do polling on True Social, but not enough interaction there to merit putting a poll. But the point is, this is a way for me to be able to kind of gauge the audience and get them kind of engaged, literally, because there are some platforms where I'm more active than others because of the engagement that I'm getting. So this is one way for me to do more And also with my subscriptions for my website, since I took down Off the Record from there, I moved it to Locals for the podcast. But I activated the blog, but I can't track who's tuning in or reading. And I want to stay in touch with all of you. So the other place where I not only want to do polls, but a place where you can interact even more with me is Substack. I want to lean more into that. So I'm deciding that by the end of this month, the blog will cease to be. That's a thought. I'm not saying that this, it's gonna be finalized, but I'm thinking that the blog will at least become inactive, and I'm gonna be using Substack for all my blog posts here on out. Even though you could tune into my podcast on Substack, I'm thinking that I'm gonna be just doing the blog from over there as well. And you can subscribe and you can read it easier on the Substack Reader app, which I think is a very fluid, very beautifully done app that's available to download. So I wanna engage with more of you. But as I go about with my content that I've been doing, a lot of different things to be more engaged and be more connected with people. I also have been doing so on Locals with a segment that I call Ask Andres. So this is a segment that I only made recently known to my Inner Circle members and to my Locals members. Those are the ones that have been able to ask the questions, and I've been loving the interaction with it. So what that is I'm inviting people to ask questions about marriage, relationships, parenthood, Christianity, God, and that. So I wanted to answer those questions, which are much more personal and in some cases more intimate, with it. And I think it's been very well received. But I'm finally announcing this to make a little more known that I am doing this. But I'm only doing that at Locals. It's free. If you're interested, you can go to Locals. I'll leave links in the show notes of this episode at www.theunderscore.com, so you can go check that out. I invite you to participate if you're interested. You can tune into some of the previous posts already made. They're both in video and the audio formats, but only available there. And yeah, if this thing continues to increase in popularity as it already is, I've already done 6 episodes on this, and there's more to come because I have more questions to answer, then I look forward to expanding the range of this. But until then, it remains on Locals. So that wraps up the tech talk stuff. And the next thing I'm moving on to is real estate, because as March comes around and ultimately April, people start getting some tax returns depending on how they filed, if they filed early or late, whatever it is. Point is that there is there are some things that are happening in our economy today. You heard about the egg shortages, you experienced the egg shortages, and that's not the only thing. The price at the pump, and all the price has gone down a bit, but that's only artificially dropped low because we're dipping into our savings accounts quite literally when it comes to our petroleum instead of actually drilling for more or getting more. That's going to just skyrocket yet again. So there's a lot that's affecting people's wallets, which is why I reposted the previous previous episode of mine, a classic one called Is It the Right Time to Buy or When Is the Right Time to Buy? And the answer has remained quite literally the same through it all, which is if you're ready, able, and willing. So if you want to know more about whether you are, that's what I'm inviting a lender friend of mine that's been it's appeared on my podcast a couple of times, and I'm also looking to invite this the author of Why the Rich Stay Rich and the Poor Stay Poorer, who's developed a tried and proven approach to building an estate. Even if you're starting off from renting, you can still build something up, and it doesn't even matter what economy you're in, so long as you're navigating it right. So those are things that I want to be able to cover, and you can be sure that that content is coming. I'm getting those reviews scheduled or interviews scheduled and in the books, so you'll have it in time to make a sound business decision, hopefully before you get your tax return and then spend it willy-nilly, for those of you that are interested in getting into investing. But because of that, there was a Real Estate 101 episode that I wanted to get back to doing, because there's a couple of things I wanted to cover, one of them being watch out for scammers, because there's been some predatory I don't even know how to say it because it's not lending. But it's there are fake agents out there preying on mostly immigrant buyers that are posing as agents and stealing money. And I want to highlight this report for a lot of people because it shocks people when I report this, when I'm hearing it from the victims themselves. And I don't find much of any news about this. And because there is no identity of an office or a business card or anything to link to the other individual, it's really hard to try to track down these thieves. And I've been hearing a lot more about it, and I wanted to bring it to the light. It's along those lines that I also want to incorporate stories from property owners that have been suffering from the draconian measures that the state and the municipalities have taken against them with regards to their investment properties, rental income properties. And on top of that, also what Sacramento was doing to basically continue to tax them out of California, but ultimately to take over private property, which is what everybody should be concerned about, whether you're a renter or a property owner. So those are things that I want to touch on and eventually put out there. So these require a little more patience for me to do, not just fire up the microphone and do it. So when the time comes, you'll be hearing about those. So those are teases of what else is coming on the pipeline and touching about real estate and tech, as my tagline for my show goes, because I am still covering real estate. I have an episode that locals saw first with Local Broker Reacts, one of my favorite movies of all time that was filmed in LA. And I get to react to the behind the scenes of this because I grew up on these streets. So stay tuned for that. It's coming, including other clips from interviews that I've done before that are worth highlighting that I hope you enjoy. Now, I guess the last of it would be that in terms of content, other content that's unrelated to any of this, I've been very busy being on other podcasts. Once these episodes drop, I'll let you know. I was recently interviewed actually on Instagram Live doing some governmental breakdown as how things operate in Washington. And they're looking to invite me to keep doing more in this series. So you can tune into that. I'm tagged in it. You can find it on my Instagram at @TheAndresSegovia if you're interested in any of that. But the other things are in talking movies. And I was also invited on another podcast to talk cancel culture. So that involves tech, a lot of tech, and calling out the grifters too. So all that stuff is something that I've done this month, and those episodes are forthcoming. One of them already being published, being the Instagram Live interview. And lastly is that I did finish my third novel in my romantic comedy series. I'm just waiting for the book cover so then I can announce the publishing date. But I'm excited. I want to get it done. And as soon as that's ready to go out there, I'll start probably considering doing the audio versions of those books this year. I already have them on Kindle. They're available as paperback. And to do an audio book will require a lot more of my time. But I like the idea of doing it. But yeah. And I guess the last thing I'll leave you with here is that while I don't have any affiliates, and this is kind of touching on my business ideas, I do have to fund this show. Some people think that podcasting is a lucrative business only if you already had the clout and the existing fan base, but there's really no money to be made into podcasting. It's really more of a hobby, and that's how I've been doing it. But last year, it helped level things out a little. As I made affiliate partners. They're not sponsors. That's why you don't really hear much about them, but you do hear about Ranger Candy Coffee a lot because I've gotten to know the owner very well, and I respect his mission and his service too, but also because I really like the coffee. So that's why I pitch it. But I also have other affiliates that don't have anything to do with coffee. They like TRX, for example, Wondershare Filmora with the programs that I use, and also other brands that you're more familiar with, such as Blender Bottle and things like that, that I'm going to be promoting a lot more coming soon. But it's along those lines that it's for the first time there's a couple of companies that reached out, and I'm mulling over these decisions that maybe, but I want to try the waters first. You might see sponsored content in the future. I the odds of it are 40%. Yes, 60%. No. But I'm just being transparent here because if I do get a sponsorship, it's a product that I actually believe in and that's something that I use first. And if I don't like it, it's not going to be appearing anywhere on my show except a review is like, hey, I tested this product, it's crap, don't get it, because that's a condition for anyone presenting to me anything. That's why you haven't seen any sponsored content, because I don't like anybody trying to get me to, here, I want you to, I'm gonna pay for this very expensive product of mine and just give it to you, and I'm expecting you to do a positive review on your YouTube channel and put a positive video review on Amazon. It's like, thanks, but no thanks. I don't do any of that. All right, and the last thing, I guess, sponsorships, which also leads me to talk about sponsorships. I don't have any sponsorships for the very reason that I don't want to be controlled by anybody or someone controlling my voice in that respect, which is why, like I said, the drama from the past few days has been affecting me directly because it does expose something that's been of an issue and a concern of mine with certain entities, including the aforementioned Daily Wire, because I would have loved to if it all worked out, but then they moved to Tennessee and I wouldn't move to Tennessee. And then I'm like, well, you only use big tech, and then all this stuff happens. So I'm like, well, kind of brought to light some of the things that I was concerned about, but also, that's the problem when you're beholden to advertisers, because it's a revenue stream, and you jeopardize that for everyone. It only makes sense that you also get doxed for it. It's like, hey, you didn't bring in this revenue. It's like, yeah, that's it's business. I know. But that's also why I don't like what's happened to certain influencers that I follow, that they gotten in trouble with some of their sponsors because, like, hey, this sponsor is not as good as they are. Anybody that has a brain could have just Googled them to see that they are down ratio to hell and back or negative reviewed. For you to wait this long after promoting them for like a year to realize, yeah, these guys are not that good. I never want to be in that position. Ever. That's why I turn down every sponsorship offer or paid promotion for review that I've received, with the exception of one that they didn't pay me. Whenever a company comes to me and tells me they're not asking for any kickbacks or any positive reviews or expect anything from me, but they just believe in their product so much, only one company has done that, and a second company looks to be to do that, but since I'm not in a rush for it, that's why you haven't seen any coverage of it. But it deals with tech, and it's like, and it's not a tech device, but it deals with tech. So I'm like, it's right up my alley, and for my profession in real estate, so I'm willing to take a look at it. But I'm like, if you're telling me you need this and that, and they're assuring me that they don't, then I'm like, okay, then that sounds good. Then we can talk later. So that's what things are right now. Just being transparent with all of you. Well, anyway, this is a lengthier video that turns out to be more of an update, but it's been so much this month, folks. A lot that's happened this month, and I do appreciate you listened this far. So I guess that's where I'll leave it. Stay tuned. A lot of stuff is happening in the background, and I'm excited to have you all along for the ride. And there's several more of you than there were just even 2 weeks ago. So welcome aboard. I hope you enjoy your stay. I'm Andres. I am a real estate broker in Southern California. It's one of my day jobs, not the only one. I'm also an investor, a property manager, and a small business owner. So I'm multifaceted in all this. And this podcast, this show, this on that I do my video platforms and stuff, this is a hobby. You know, it doesn't pay, but there's certain things that are happening that are making me consider that I have to seek avenues to grow the show in case some of the other revenue streams are closed entirely. So this is a job unto itself, so I'll see how I can make that happen if it comes down to that. One of my favorite phrases from the movie Spy Game is, when did Noah build the ark? Before the rain. So I hope that's good advice for you too. Thank you very much for listening this long. I appreciate you all. I'll see you in the next one.